This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And don't miss me too much over the weekend. I'll be back on Monday for a little Medal of Honor Monday. So this hour, we have to talk about wieners. We have to talk about hot dogs. We have to talk about war. Killing innocents in war, the morality of that. We have yet another woman proving my point, these crazy communist women, a point that I made earlier this week. All that. Oh, what, Chris? What? Yes, I'm going to get to the chief of staff thing, Chris, if you let me finish a sentence. All that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I will go ahead and follow this up because Chris asked what I would have done. Here's the thing. You can attack a problem if you know the problem, if you really truly know what the problem is. But if you haven't properly figured out, if you haven't accurately figured out what the problem is, then it doesn't matter how hard you try or how good your intentions are. You cannot possibly solve a problem. We'll make it about medicine. Let's just make it about medicine or disease or something like that. If you think, if a doctor tells you you have diabetes, he thinks you have diabetes, and then you think you have diabetes, and then through a combination of lifestyle changes and medications and everything else, you begin to attack that diabetes so you can take care of it. By the way, prayers for you if you have it. I know that's something a lot of people struggle with. But you're going up diabetes. I'm going to fix my diabetes over and over and over and over and over again. But instead of diabetes, you actually have a serious problem with your liver, yet you've been attacking the diabetes. It doesn't matter how diligent you've been, how hard you've been working. It doesn't matter how good your intentions are. If you're attacking the disease that's not the actual disease, then you will not be successful in fixing yourself. The question ultimately becomes when we talk about fixing the United States of America, the question really is, almost everything comes down to this. How bad do you think it is? That's the question. If I have a company, there's 100 people who work for my company. I have 10 different departments, 10 people, 10 different departments. Each department obviously has 10 people, 100 people in my company. And I have one department that is a huge problem. Let's say a criminal problem. This department, we just did an audit. They're stealing money. It's a disaster. And it looks like as we dig into it that 8 of the 10 people in that department, they're all involved in this criminality. Well, that's bad. Okay, that's a problem. It's 10% of your company. But it's not the end of the world. You can fire everyone in the department. You can eliminate the department completely. You can fix it in that way. If I have another department, it's just not going the right way. Doesn't look like there's criminality, but they're really failing to make their sales numbers. Okay, not the end of the world. I'll replace that department head with somebody better, more motivated, more goal-focused. I'll get things back in line. If, however, I have a 100-person company, I have 10 different departments, and 9 of the 10 departments are corrupt, obviously. And as I dig into the department themselves, let's focus on sales. I find out not only is the head of sales, not only is he corrupt, but gosh, his guy under him is corrupt. It looks like multiple individual salespeople are corrupt. If I look at my company and 9 of my 10 departments are completely corrupted and wrong and bad, well, you can't fix that with ZipRecruiter. You have to take an axe. You have to start remaking the entire company because things are so, so bad. I'll play it for you. No, I'll play it for you again. This is that interview Elon Musk did with Bret Baier. Listen to this.
For you, what's the most astonishing?
By the way, as you listen to this, I know you already know, this is across the government, every department, Pentagon, CIA, FBI, Department of Agriculture, you name the department, this stuff is going on.
For you, what's the most astonishing thing you've found out in this process?
The sheer amount of waste and fraud in the government. It is astonishing. It's mind-blowing. We routinely encounter wastes of $1 billion or more, casually. You know, for example, like the simple survey that was literally 10 question survey that you could do with SurveyMonkey cost about $10,000 was the government was being charged almost $1 billion for that.
For just the survey?
$1 billion for a simple online survey. Do you like the national park? And then there appeared to be no feedback loop for what would be done with that survey. So the survey would just go into nothing.
Across the government, that's the case. Let me ask you this. Let's talk about how bad it is. Federal Bureau of Investigation, the federal law enforcement arm, all kinds of power, the power to destroy virtually anybody's life. When the Joe Biden administration turned the FBI into an evil secret state police agency that spent 4 years hunting down the political opponents of Democrats. We're talking infiltrating churches, school board moms. The FBI got involved in the 2020 election to ensure Joe Biden could win it, and that's a publicly documented fact by now. Let me ask you this. Roughly 35,000 employees at the FBI. How many came forward? Five? Six? I don't know every name. You know, I can think of them right now. Steve, Garrett, Marcus, Kyle, Phil. There's a few, but five? Can you name me 10? I bet you can't. If I have a company with 35,000 employees, and the company is found to be involved in pervasive criminal evil activity, and a grand total of five people in that company come forward and say, hey, there's some bad stuff going on here. Can I save that company? Does that company just need a little tweak here and there? Hey, let's just adjust some leadership. Let me tell you what I heard from a little birdie about the military. Do you think that just because Trump took over and J.D. Vance is putting out Marine Corps ads we love, and just because Pete Hegseth is the SecDef now, and do you think all those communist officers in the United States military have resigned? Retired? Changed their ways? Remember, it was not long ago I told you what I heard from a source, that a third of the Green Berets are best would attack American citizens if the government told them to do so. I have heard now that a large percentage of the officer corps inside the military, they view their role as resisting the Trump administration. Look, I've already told you who I'm fans of, who I'm friends with, who I like, who I don't like. How many flag officers have been retired? Anybody? Anybody? We can't tweak this and tweak that to get out of where we are right now as a country. Tweaking won't work. Even this, love Cash. Glad he's there. Okay, this sounds good.
Just in the last 3 weeks, Trey, the FBI has arrested and brought to justice, thanks to the Department of Justice and Pam Bondi, three top 10 of the FBI's most wanted. Let me just say that again. Not one, not two, but three of the FBI's most wanted top 10 are now in custody because of our relationships with folks like Director Ratcliffe and Secretary Hegseth and Rubio, and the list goes on. But we've also returned to justice in just one short week's time, one of the architects of the Abbeygate explosion that killed 13 of our service members. We did that in...
Okay, that's good. Good, good. I'm not poo-pooing it. Good. Good job, Cash. Good, good, good. But you know what's even more important than bringing the Abbeygate guy to justice? Bringing the FBI agents, who are evil secret state police agents, bringing them to justice. Where's that? By my count so far, we've had one head of a field office resign, the New York field office. Am I wrong about that? If I'm wrong, I'm not that wrong. Maybe it's two or three, but I believe it's one. It's not enough. It's not enough. It is what it is. Whatever. Let's talk about my favorite hot dog. Always good to have a little wiener talk on a Friday. Let's talk about Pure Talk. What's your favorite hot dog? You should text a friend right now during the break. And because you have Pure Talk, you know the text is going to go through. That's the beauty of it. And I want you to think, just do a little quick math in your head. How many wieners could you buy with $1,000? Did you know the average American family saves $1,000 when they switch to Pure Talk? I had T-Mobile. My bill got cut clean in two. In half, almost exactly, when we switched to Pure Talk, the patriotic cell phone company that hires American citizens. That's the kind of company I believe in. And when they're on the same network, when it's pain-free, I don't have to change my phone or phone number, why wouldn't I switch? There's no reason not to switch. Switch to Pure Talk. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's dig into the real issues. Jesse, what's your go-to hot dog? Have a youth sports team barbecue this weekend, and I'm on the hook for the weenies. Hebrew Nationals, ballpark, Costco. Obviously, chicken or turkey dogs are not even in consideration. Well, this is a budget thing, a budget thing. So let me tell you what I used to do, and then I'll tell you what I do now. I have never had, I don't want a poor mouth, you know, but have not had a ton of money most of my life. Bar S, bacon. What, Chris? Don't shake your head. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it too cheap for you? Bar S, bacon. Bar S hot dogs. I know it's not the highest of quality, Chris. They're delicious. Absolutely delicious. And you can get those things. Chris, look it up. It's got to be a quarter a wiener. They cost nothing. Even with inflation, if you've got a mass, cook them. And if you look, times are tight for a lot of people. If you're on a budget, Bar S is a great, great option. A great option. If you're doing well. Maybe you got good money coming in now. I don't know where you're at in life. You know, we all have our ups and downs. I'll tell you what I buy now, now that I have this sweet radio gig. Ballpark bun size beef franks. Don't miss on a single thing I just said, because there's a lot of different ballpark franks out there. Ballpark bun size. You need, it's so critical in life. I can't believe people are dismissive of this, especially hot dog companies. The wiener has to fit inside of the bun. It's got to be a good wiener bun fit, meaning the wiener has to fill up the bun completely, but the wiener, one, can't be too fat. Girth matters. You don't want one of the quarter pound wieners. It doesn't work. Then the wiener to bread ratio is all screwed up. The wiener has to be the appropriate girth so the bun can not completely wrap around it, but a three-side wrap of the bun. Okay? You with me? Why are you laughing, Chris? Why don't you grow up? Wiener bun girth is important. A three-side, not four, then your wiener's too small, but also not two, because then your wiener's too big. It's too girthy, right? And length. Length. Wieners are too short most of the time, but I don't want to act like just too short matters. Too long matters too. I don't want to have to snip off the end of my wiener before I can get to the exact kind of hot dog it's supposed to be. The wiener is supposed to fit inside of the buns perfectly. That is what, Chris? What? Chris, I'm not getting Hebrew Nationals. I'll explain why in a moment. And don't tell me they're pre-snipped, Chris. Why don't you grow up? Okay. Anyway, ballpark bun size beef franks, they're the ones who deliver this. They deliver it perfectly. Now, Chris, let me talk to you and you people, okay? I am a hot dog man. To this day, I try not to do it often. So I'm 43, not 23 anymore. Once a month, I would guess, maybe once every couple months, I go to the store and I get hot dogs. And it's wiener night in the Kelly household. I tried Hebrew Nationals because everybody told me, Jews, Gentiles, everybody told me, Hebrew Nationals, Hebrew Nationals, you have to try the Hebrew Nationals. They're not very good, dude. I don't like them. You really like them? Corey, you like them? You've never had them? You're not missing out. They suck. I don't think they're any better than Bar S. I really mean it. I don't mean that to be offensive, Chris. You know how polite I am. I'm telling you they're not good. I wanted to like your people's hot dogs. I did. I wanted to be that guy, right? What? What? Maybe I got a bad batch. Chris, they're hot dogs, brother. The batch is the batch. Do you think they changed the recipe or something like that? I'll tell you what. I'll try them one more time. I'll give them one more shot for your sake because I'm an understanding person who's kind to other people. I'm going to give them one more shot. I think the Hebrew Nationals are awful. Absolutely awful. Nathan's, it's not a money thing, and you're not going to accuse me of being a money thing. You of all people, it's not a money thing. Are they more expensive than ballparks? For real? I haven't priced them in ages. I only bought them one time. Well, I'll tell you this, though. When I bought Hebrew Nationals, it was years ago, and I wasn't doing that well financially. Maybe the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. Maybe they tasted worse because I had just upgraded from Bar S. And I was, look, you've got to really deliver. If I'm going to pay maximum premium hot dog prices, I better be getting premium hot dog taste. If I get a suboptimal wiener, I'm going to be upset. Don't clip that. Okay, don't clip. Corey, why don't you grow up? Okay, that's not... You understand what I mean. I don't like it. I'll tell you what, where they are acceptable, because this is what I did with my one pack of Hebrew Nationals I bought. They're good with Kraft Mac. Weenies and Mac is as good as it. Why do you always sneer at the good stuff, Chris? You don't like weenies? Are you too good for weenies and Mac? Weenies, Corey knows what I'm talking about. My boys tried to sneer at it because they'd never had it. First time I made it, oh, no. Well, kids don't like different things. I put down a bowl of it in front of them. They just inhaled it and asked for more. Gosh, I'm starving now. Look, if you need nutrition with it, pour Rough Greens. No, I'm kidding. The Rough Greens is for your dog. But your dog needs that because, honestly, dog food is basically, it's hot dogs. It's fast food. It's empty calories. Your dog eats empty calories every meal. That's what dog food is. Rough Greens is alive. Live vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes. The difference you will see in your dog. Better energy, better coat, just better breath, better health. You don't go to the vet near as often. Of course, would you go to the doctor as often if you ate good? Free Jumpstart trial bags. You can try it. You just sprinkle it on your dog's food. Roughgreens.com/Jesse is where you go. Or call 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Gosh, I miss ZZ Top. I love me some ZZ Top. Anyway, it is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, churning through all the important news of the day. Now, let me just do a little callback to something I said earlier this week. We may end up, Chris, you might have to put this permanently on the sound list. Remember, this is from earlier when I said this.
Communists use your values against you. I've warned you about that forever. Whatever values you have, they will identify them. They will learn to use that, wear that like a skin suit and use it against you. Hey, you know, Jesus would want you to fill up your country with illegals. They love that kind of stuff. And they do it on deeper levels too, particularly with women. The mama bear stereotype is a mama bear stereotype because it's real. If you ever hurt one of my children, yeah, I'd probably torture you to death, but you better hope I get to you before my wife does. That's mama. That, look, I've seen it. Remember when I told you the story when I went to Alaska? I watched a mama bear fight and die for her two cubs so they could escape. That's what a mama bear does. She'll fight. Now, when a young woman goes to college, the communist knows everything I just said. They take that nature, that wonderful nature of a woman to nurture and care for something. And what they do is they take her eyes, they take that nature, and they simply divert it towards something else. Now, instead of a focus on family, children, caring for that, now they get her focused on, I mean, pick your cause, right? Maybe it's the LGBTQ stuff. Maybe it's the climate. They get her focused on that. You know what will make it about the climate? They get the climate in her mind, and they make the earth, the air. They will find a way to use that motherly instinct and aim it at protecting the planet. And then once you've managed to twist her up like that, now she believes insane things. And now what will she do if you're trying to hurt her kids? That SUV, you just think it's an SUV. No big deal, right? Mama Bear looks at it like you're hurting her baby, and she will hurt you for hurting her baby. Listen to this.
Destruction of property is a...
In case you're wondering, this is some commie freak justifying the torching, the keying, the vandalization of Teslas going on across the country because the communists are A, too stupid to still realize that everything's being filmed, and B, have decided Elon Musk is the height of all evil.
Destruction of property is a perfectly viable source of protest. No harming humans, obviously. Yeah. Human life is sacred no matter whose it is. But property is, these are just things. These are just cars.
You hear it? I'll play you another one. This one's from a Christine Reeves. She's a representative in Washington State.
I recall a time in our country's history, not that long ago, where people like my grandfather.
Keep in mind, she's having an argument about men and women's sports, the trannies.
Were told that they could not participate in sporting activities because he was a black man. I can recall a time in our country's history, Madam Chair, where people like my grandfather and my great-grandfather were not allowed to participate in processes and places in our society because of the color of their skin. And as I'm listening to this debate, Madam Chair, it reminds me of a time in our country where people generated science to compel people to believe in the argument that my father, my grandfather, my grandmother, my great-grandparents were less than in our society. We are repeating history, Madam Speaker, in this debate, and it is very...
Do you hear how they twist these young women up? They eat them up, and then they become the tip of the spear. Hey, Jesse, something I've been thinking about since seeing the way Israel prosecutes its war, he's talking about Yemen, and now brought to the forefront of my mind by the Yemen chat leak and blowing up a residential building to kill one high-value target. I'm seeing people justify such acts with, quote, "That's how you fight wars." So if killing dozens or even hundreds of innocents to kill one bad man is justified, is hijacking an airliner full of innocents and using it as a weapon to attack a building full of high-value targets not also justified? Sure, we aren't at war, but last time I checked, we're not at war with any country in the Middle East either. But we still seem to be killing a lot of people there anyway? I know it's a hard, almost unthinkable question, but that's why I listen to Jesse Kelly. You think? Okay. First, that's a very, very valid question to ask. And the fact that you're even asking it probably speaks very, very highly of you. Tells me you don't take everything hook, line, and sinker. Anything anybody says, myself included, and you shouldn't. You think for yourself. God gave you your own mind. So let's talk about this. Because I think we can probably agree at least on this end of it. Let's take the two extremes. I think we can agree that slaughtering endless amounts of innocent people to kill one bad man is bad, right? You would agree with that. Okay, that's the one extreme end. Now let's go to the other extreme end. The other extreme end being you are never, under any circumstances, allowed to harm a single head on an innocent, a single hair on an innocent person's head in pursuit of getting a bad man. That's also an extreme example. Wouldn't you agree? I've used this example before. I'll use it again just because it's my favorite documentary of all time, made by the BBC of all things, called Hell in the Pacific. Highly recommend it. It's impossible to find, though. You have to basically buy a DVD online. Anyway, the guy's talking. It's a Marine. I think he was from Boston, if I remember right. And he was talking about Saipan. There's a cave. We have to go past the cave. We can't stay here. We have to advance across the island. We have to take the island. In this cave, there are Japanese soldiers. Japanese soldiers, we can't get them out. We have tried, and multiple buddies of ours have died trying to get them out. It's very hard to get somebody out of a cave. But these Japanese soldiers in the cave, they have taken into the cave women and children. Now, remember, you can't move past it. That's not an option because then you've left an enemy in your rear. He's just going to come out after dark and cut your buddy's throat while he sleeps. You cannot move past it. You can't leave them there. They won't come out on their own. So what did the Marines do? Bunch of different things. Sometimes stuck a flamethrower in there. Not pleasant. Shoot on Peleliu. They'd flat out run gas hoses into these things, fill them up with gas, light them on fire. Bye-bye. Sometimes it's a satchel charge. Sometimes you just blow up the entrance to the cave, and now everybody in the cave, the men, the women, the children, they will slowly die in the pitch black. Starvation, thirst. Let me ask you this, as long as we're getting dark. What do you think the soldiers did to the women and children after we blew the entrance to the cave closed? What do you think they did in order to survive? Was it wrong? Was it right? I don't know that I have the answer. I don't. I don't think I'd ever call it wrong. The Marines who had to do such things and soldiers haunted them to the day they died. This is why I get frustrated, and you've heard me yell before about people who make things so simple all the time. Well, right or wrong. That's not how the world works oftentimes. Oftentimes, it's hard to see those lines. And I don't have the answer to your question, by the way. I'm glad you ask it. I'm glad you think. Now, I brought up DVDs, a DVD of that documentary. Listen. Even that's not going to work for your home movies, for those camcorder tapes. You have to digitize everything. Everything has to become digital. Your pictures, your videotapes. Legacy Box will preserve your home videos, your pictures, your everything forever. Do you realize that? Once you digitize it, it's not subject to heat, humidity, time. Time is destroying your home videos. As we speak, your home videos are worse today than they were yesterday, and tomorrow they'll be even more faded. Right now, Legacy Box has a sale. 65% off digitizing your home movies. $9 a tape is all they're charging. Plus, you get 90 days of free Legacy Box cloud access. This is a must. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Friday. Remember, if you miss me, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And I have to get to a bunch of these. I feel like I didn't do very many emails today, Chris. Did I not do enough emails today? Although I feel like the show was spectacular.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Oh, wise one. How about Putin and Zelensky just settle it between themselves like men of honor? I recall General Patton called out Hitler and Rommel like this. Of course he did. Besides all the dueling and such, who do you think would win? First of all, that sounds exactly like something Patton would do. And Patton would have carved up that dork Hitler like nothing. And he would have done it to Rommel, too. Not that Rommel was a dork, but Patton loved to fight. Patton carried six shooters on him. Did you think Patton carried six shooters just as like a costume? No. Patton was an expert shot with them. At one point in time, as a young man fighting in Mexico, Patton was charged by Mexicans on horseback, busts out his six-shooter like it's a freaking Wyatt Earp movie, and guns them all down, straps them to the hood of his Jeep, and drives back into the... Of course Patton would just want to fight about it. Of course he would. As far as Zelensky and Putin goes, you know, on the surface you would say, well, Putin would certainly win that because Putin... he's trained, KGB, judo guy. But yeah, that's the thing, Chris. Age, man. Zelensky's just so much younger. Granted, Zelensky, is he a midget officially, Chris? Do we have an official height on him? He's down there. If not a midget, he's at least Italian. Hey, Jesse, you got to help me out here. Why does the government need to reference some obscure law to deport illegals? Well, because... all of the American left is designed to destroy and ignore the Constitution in favor of what they want. Half of the American right is designed to allow the American left to destroy the law so the left can do what it wants. Once you want what it wants, once you understand the game, once you see the game, you can see it clearly. Balding menu whisper. It's not nice. I believe the war, he's talking about the Civil War, was initially over economic issues rather than slavery. What are your thoughts? Well, that was a huge part of it. Remember this. Civil War is one of the things everybody can argue about to this day. But it's also dumbed down to the point in our education system that nobody knows anything about anything anymore. All kids learn about the Civil War is North good, South bad. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln offered the South that you can keep your slaves, just come back to the Union? Did you know that? I'm not denying the fact that Abraham Lincoln was an abolitionist because he was. To his credit, he hated slavery. He wanted it ended. Abraham Lincoln was interested in keeping the Union together. That was his interest. I know your history teacher is a communist moron who doesn't know anything, but I'm here to tell you this is all documented. You can go look it up. Abraham Lincoln told the South, keep your slaves, just come back to the Union. Abraham Lincoln talked about deporting all the freed black people to Liberia. Now, I'm not making Abraham Lincoln out to be a horrible person. That's not what I'm saying. But he ain't Saint Abe either. It was an ugly, horrible time in this country with angels and demons on both sides. What, Chris? Yeah, I know. Lee wanted to fight for Lincoln. Yeah, look, I know. It's an ugly, terrible time that, like most things, has been dumbed down over time, and so now people know things that simply are not true. Dear Commie Crusher, we see the price of a barrel of oil going down, resulting in lower prices at the pump. My question is, when will Trump get a new refinery or two started, since it takes a couple years to build? Well, this is the problem. Trump can do so much. Trump is so good on energy. He's so good on energy, ignoring the greeny crap. Making sure, he calls it liquid gold because that's what it is. The world runs on oil, and there's nothing that's going to change that for a long, long, long time. It's just not going to happen. But The problem is, as I've said so many times before, in order to truly save the United States of America, we need a reformed Democrat Party. And people get mad when I say it, but as I've explained so many times before, we can't rebuild as fast as they destroy. You can't deport 20 million people after they import 20 million people. And even if you can, you can't do it in 4 years. They brought in 20 million in 4 years. You can't deport 20 million. It's not possible. What we have to have is a Democrat Party, not that's like the Republican Party. We don't need that. In fact, we don't even want that. Two parties that are exactly the same. But we cannot survive long term if the Democrat Party is committed to destroying everything it touches when it comes to oil refineries. If you were asking me to start one, why would I start one? Donald Trump is president for less than 4 more years. If I start one now, even if you green light all the permitting process, I get everything done, even then I'm a little ways out from building it. Okay, I finally get it built. How long does it take me to get a return on my investment? Years. It takes years to get a return on your investment. Okay, well, what happens if Gavin Newsom wins the presidency in 2028? I just invested all this money in my oil refinery and that greasy haired freak comes in and says, nope, I'm stopping it immediately, whether it's lawful or not. Well, I'm going to sue. Sue all you want. I just lost all my money. I'll never recover it. That's why Trump can't get the Keystone Pipeline going again. Did you know that? Biden came in, stopped it immediately, crushed all those jobs. Trump wants it started again. No one wants to start it because they all understand the second you get some soulless demon Democrat in there, they're just going to stop the thing again. So it ain't worth it. Now we just don't ever get it. We can't rebuild as fast as they destroy. We have to reform the Democrat Party. On that sunny note, you put your phone down. Go enjoy your weekend. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.